Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If those hostages aren't back, I don't want to hurt your negotiation. If they're not back by the time I get into office, all hell will break out in the Middle East.
You probably recognize the voice that was President-elect Donald Trump talking about the ongoing conflict in Gaza. And obviously, yesterday, a ceasefire deal was reached between Hamas and Israel. Now there is a delay. Israel has said that they're not going to vote on the deal right now. We're following hour by hour. They've said Hamas has gone back on some of the items that were agreed upon. And just to give us some more information on where we stand right now is Robert Berger, CBS correspondent currently in Jerusalem. Robert, thank you for joining us today.
Good to be with you.
I guess my first question should be, where are we in this delay on the vote on the ceasefire deal?
Well, I can give you breaking news that the disagreements between Israel and Hamas have been resolved, and according to Israeli media, the Israeli cabinet will meet tomorrow to approve the deal, which is widely expected, and then putting basically the deal in motion, hopefully maybe see the release of three female Israeli hostages as early as Sunday.
So what can you give us what the exact details are of this deal and what both sides will be getting?
Sure. This is a three-phase deal, and the only thing that's been agreed to is phase one, which would see the release of 33 Israeli hostages, females and men over the age of 50, as well as some people considered humanitarian cases. In other words, they're ill. That would be the 33. And by the way, not all of them are alive. It's actually unknown how many of the 33 are alive. It's assumed that maybe two-thirds are. So that's phase one. Then in a couple of weeks, Israel and Hamas are supposed to begin negotiations on phase two, which would hopefully see the release of the remaining 65 Israeli hostages held in Gaza and an end to the war. And then phase three would be the reconstruction of Gaza. Those last two phases have to be negotiated.
Is this the math here as well that Israel has to release 30 prisoners for every kidnapped civilian and 50 prisoners for every kidnapped female soldier? Is that how the math is working out?
Yeah, I mean, that's the basic ratio. It's expected that Israel is going to release 1,000 Palestinian prisoners during this six-week ceasefire. And typical lopsided deal, 1,000 in exchange for 33, of which 250 of the people that will be released from prison, Palestinians, are serving life sentences for killing Israelis in terrorist attacks.
Yeah, I think that was something we start talking about this ceasefire, why it's complicated, why it's difficult. There are so many layers to it. But the release, you know, Hamas is releasing hostages like babies and little kids, and Israel has to release terrorists. It's one of those hard to comprehend lopsided deals.
Yeah, this isn't the first time, of course. People in Israel, it's a painful price for Israel to pay, and this is only phase one. In phase two, you'll probably see the release of at least 2,000 more Palestinian prisoners, and you know, most of them have been convicted of terrorism charges, including murder. But that's basically the price Israel has paid over the years. This was a catastrophic intelligence failure on October 7th that allowed 3,000 or more Hamas gunmen to, you know, swarm into Israel and kill people, 1,200 people, and kidnap over 250. Now, in a previous deal, about 100 or more were released. But so the feeling is that you have to pay the price to get them home, even though it's a heavy price.
What is public sentiment there? Are they just happy it's getting done, or are they upset with the terms?
It's a little bit of both. Of course, people want to see the hostages released. Everybody, this has been hanging over the country since October 7, 2023. Every day on the news, you see families of the hostages, every news broadcast, just hanging over the country. So to see them start to come out is, of course, welcome. But to see these other militants or terrorists, coming out back onto the streets, obviously doesn't, increase the sense of security among Israelis.
Right, because again, as you said, it's a three-stage process. It would be 6 weeks of ceasefire, and this is just the first stage. I know there has been discussion what happens to Gaza after this conflict is the current conflict is over, but I can't imagine how you plan that when you have Hamas leaders saying we're going to do October 7th over and over again. We're going to do this. We're celebrating it. How do you approach that?
One of the goals of the war was to destroy Hamas, and that's why the Israeli government, which is a right-wing government, I mean, this is a reluctant deal, to say the least. The price, they didn't succeed in the main goal of the war, which is destroying Hamas. Now, there's a possibility if Hamas doesn't release the hostages after 6 weeks, the remaining hostages, if there's no deal, that Israel would go back to war. That's going to be hard to do under President Trump, though, who has famously said that there will be all hell to pay unless there's a deal.
What do we know about the American hostages that are left?
Yeah, seven American hostages, of whom only three are believed to be alive. And maybe one of them will come out in the first phase. Keith Siegel, 64 years old, so he would fit into the category of over 50 and maybe come out in this first phase. The other two that are alive are of military age. One of them is actually an Israeli soldier, and the other one of military age. So if they won't be coming out for a while. And then there's four who are believed to be dead.
You know, you mentioned the incoming president, Trump, who was part of this. He had a representative who was working on this deal, and that was sanctioned by the Biden administration. So you've got this cooperation that typically doesn't happen between an outgoing administration and an incoming one. Just how unique of a situation is that?
Well, I think it had to be done because even though President Trump said, get this done before I come in, he's going to have to deal with the implementation of it, whether he likes it or not. And we can only hope that it goes smoothly, but typically it doesn't always go that smoothly. And then, like I mentioned, there's a second phase of the deal. All that's going to happen under President Trump's watch. It was good that he brought Steve Witkoff, the negotiator, the Middle East negotiator, in. From what I've heard, he brought in a very tough message to both Israel and Qatar, which is an Arab mediator with Hamas, saying, look, President Trump wants to get this deal done, and you better do it. So I think that scared Netanyahu, and maybe the negotiators from Qatar also. And they got the deal.
With the breaking news that you said that Israel has agreed now to the ceasefire, are we talking hours or days when we will see the hostages cross into Israel?
So, yes. The cabinet should approve this tomorrow, which would set a 48-hour process in motion. And the hope is that the first three hostages will come out on Sunday. Now, then they're going to be released in small batches every week. So And then in the next batch in a week, you expect three or four to come out and so on through the 42 days. And then Israel will also, with each hostage release, free probably 150 or so Palestinian prisoners each time.
Yeah, it's interesting with the public sentiment, as you mentioned, really inconceivably difficult because you're talking about human life and these hostages needing them home. Also exchanging terrorists back into Gaza, back to Hamas. And I know in people's minds is the 2011 when Yahya Sinwar, who was the leader of Hamas, right, the mastermind behind October 7th, was released as part of that exchange where over 1,000 prisoners were released for one Israeli soldier. And for him to come back years later, help mastermind October 7th is very, very raw.
Yeah, that's right. People talk a lot about that deal back in 2011, 1,027 soldiers, Palestinian prisoners for one Israeli soldier. And as you mentioned, Sinwar was one of them. And there's a fear that they're releasing a lot of top militants who will try and do the same thing. It's a dilemma, but Israel's ethos is you bring them home and at any price. But are people happy about it? No.
CBS correspondent Robert Berger from Jerusalem with us. We appreciate your time, Robert. Thank you.
Yeah, good to be with you. Thanks.